morning to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. And when you find Psalm 69, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Psalm 69 and Hebrews chapter 5. In Psalm 69 in verse 3, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Think about what the psalmist was saying there. Would you say he was desperate? Would you say he needed to get hold of God? Have you ever been like that? If you haven't, you've missed something. You've missed something. In Hebrews chapter 5, this is talking about Christ. This is talking about Christ when he was praying in Gethsemane in the shadow of the cross, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying. Can you get that, our Lord crying? And tears unto him that was able to save him from death. But God didn't save him, did he? And was heard in that he feared. Think about our Lord crying so hard. He was so desperate that his sweat was like blood. Now that's intense crying, isn't it? I think that's one of the problems we got in Christendom today. We don't cry to God like we ought to. That's what I want to talk about today. What crying shows. The word cried is found 195 times in our King James Bible, and cry 168 times, and crying 31 times. Crying is such a pitiful thing. I see my wife crying sometimes. Tears me up. I see others crying sometimes. It bothers me. But some people cry, but they don't cry to God. Isn't that sad? They cry. They hurt, but they don't cry to God. I was watching television the other night, and I saw this elderly black lady sobbing her heart out there on TV. She had lost everything she had when Matthew came. An elderly lady lived by herself. She was not even able to save her medicine that night or anything. She had to leave home so fast. And I could tell how deeply troubled she was on that program she was on. They were interviewing her. Because everything she had accumulated in life was in her home, and now it was destroyed by the flood. Miss Sue lost a beautiful home. Many others did. Even if she was given a new home, the lady I'm talking about, if she was given a new home and furniture, you know, it could not replace the memories of her life. There's something about our old mess that we got. We just love it, don't we? Some things just can't be replaced, folks. As I listened to her, it was clear now she was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I didn't see no reason to question that. But she was so pitiful. But she was just devastated by what had happened to her and to her whole community there in South Lumberton. How would you feel if suddenly you lost everything but your life? And that's what basically happened to a lot of people in Lumberton and around. And this is happening to people every day. It's not an isolated thing when a storm came by. It's happening every day. There'll be people today in Robeson County that'll lose everything but their life. No doubt. Floods, fires. Boy, a fire can take it quick, can't it? Earthquakes, volcanoes, wars. And sometime even a marriage, you lose it all. That's the reason I said it could happen today. The question is, how do we react when tragedy comes? Would you cry? Would you be angry? Just how would you respond if you suddenly lost all your material possessions? Do you blame God? After all, God controls everything. Do you blame the devil? Do you react by blaming someone else? Do you seek solace in alcohol or drugs? Or are we wise enough to turn to God who has spared us? There's nothing wrong with crying for men or women, but I believe we need to cry to God. That's where we need to direct our crying. We need to be crying to God because we're His children if we've been saved. We're His children. And as you love your children, God more loves you. God more loves you than you can even love your children. I can't explain why God lets some things happen. I wouldn't even attempt. But He does allow bad things to happen to His people. But there's always a reason. And it's not because He doesn't love and doesn't care. Crying expresses our deepest feelings, doesn't it? People cry because they hurt. Have you ever cried because you didn't hurt? I have. I've cried because I was so happy. But crying also expresses how we hurt, doesn't it? Most of the time. People cry because they are afraid or fearful too. They cry because they need help. They cry because they have great loss or pain. See, there's so many reasons we can cry, be heard. But as God's people, we need to don't let it just be within ourselves. We need to be crying to God to sustain me. And like the psalmist we just read had said in Psalm 69 there, I'm weary of my crying. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. We need to cry to God and trust Him and wait on Him to help us with the whatever the situation or the problem that we face in life. Now, God may not quickly resolve our situation. God may take time. But the point is we need to come to Him, cry to Him, trust Him, wait on Him, depend on Him, because He can work out problems. I could stand here this morning and tell you a lot of stuff that's happened to me in life and how God worked it out. Boy, I could tell you some stuff. And He didn't rush to work it out, but He worked it out. So I know it's true, not just because this book says it. I've experienced it. I've gone through it. So I know this is true. Yes, we can pray for other people that's maybe we're doing good today. Amen? Hopefully we're doing good. But you know what? I need to cry to God for other people by intervening. I was laying in bed the other night and I got to think about Danielle. What had happened to her and Michael, Miss Sue. It lets you see how helpless you are, folks. We're all that helpless. You might feel secure today, but that's quick. It can change. Just quick. Faye and I was, Friday morning, I was on my way to get one of my treatments over Gibson Cancer. We got there to the Lisbettown Highway right there in front of IGA. We had the green light. And so we were going to go through it. But before we got to it, this car come off of a Lisbettown Road, never slowed up. And it was all right. It was fine. But it didn't turn back and stay in the lane. It should have stayed the outside lane and proceed up the highway. No, that car come right, never slowed up, come out, crossed that outside lane, and went into the inside fast lane. You know what they did? They went right in, plowing into somebody in the fast lane. Never slowed up. Bam! Never looked. Bam! They stop. That guy in that car in the fast lane was driving normal like he ought to have been driving. But he didn't have a chance. That can happen to you and me. You can be driving perfect, but somebody else might be texting or on the phone or asleep or drunk or whatever, and you can be busted open. But my point today is, church, as God's people, we need to cry to our Heavenly Father. And not just when tragedies come. We need to be, those that do have tragedies, we need to be praying for them sincerely. I just learned a while ago, Miss Trina's mother's been in the hospital. She's doing good. There's one we can pray for. The psalmist David and other psalmists turned to God for comfort and hope. That's the reason I love the psalm so much. This poor man cried, David said. And the Lord heard him. I just love that phrase. This poor man. Boy, I tell you what, that's me. Can you identify with that? Do you see how little you are, how helpless you are? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. And then listen, and saved him out of all his troubles. I just love that, folks. I just love that. Because God's did it for me. Has He did it for you? He's did it for me time after time. The Apostle Paul said, and by the way, he was in a Roman prison when he said this. I tell you what, this is something else. To be sitting in a dark prison in Rome in Paul's day. And Paul said, "For I've learned in whatever situation I am therewith to be content." Boy, I wish I could get there. Think about it. No matter what my situation is, Paul said, and he said it from a prison, I've learned to be content, satisfied. Boy, he'd been praying to God, hadn't he? Huh? He'd been on praying ground with the Lord to get to that kind of a attitude. The writer of Hebrews said it this way, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can go over and read Matthew chapter 6. The Sermon on the Mount where the Lord talks about how he feeds the birds. Brother Charles Stanley was talking about that some last night. If the Lord will take care of the birds, what about you? The birds weren't made in his image, but you were. We need to cry to God, folks. We need to see that we're nothing but children. Did you know that? Hey, we need to get out of this idea that, you know, that I can take care of myself. You can't take care of yourself, save your life. God's had to look after us like we have to try to look after them old cats at the house. Amen? Did about to break me up. The Bible tells us of the children of Israel when they were escaping out of the land of Egypt. Boy, that was a happy crowd of people, 1 to 2 or maybe more, of million of people escaping out of Egypt, heading to that land God promised them. Boy, they were a happy crowd till they got to the Red Sea. And they looked back, and there come the Pharaoh after them. Scared them to death, folks. Scared them to death. They didn't have no weapons of war to fight the Pharaoh. The Bible says that when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. I love that. I love that. When we got problems and troubles, we need to cry to the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptian? They were so discouraged, confused, wish-washy. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, they finally thought, rather than to be slaughtered by the Pharaoh and drug back. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, ye shall see no more forever. When God gets rid of a problem, he gets rid of it, don't he? When God solves a problem, he can solve it. And you see what God was doing with those people. Although they were fearful and wish-washy, you know what? God was showing them people what kind of a God he was. He loved them. He has all power. And think about the power of God to part an ocean or a sea and make the water stand up and the land to be dry as that isle is, for those people to go marching through it. That's an awesome God. That's an awesome God, folks. Wow, I tell you what. It's just mind-boggling. When life seems hopeless, again, I don't mean to overemphasize it, but I guess I could. But I was laying in bed and I was thinking about Danielle. She had such a nice place to stay at. So nice. And suddenly, she's had to move in with her parents. It made me think about when I moved in with my parents, because I had to do that one time. It's not a good situation. It just bothered me about Danielle. Miss Sue's home destroyed. But God offers to help us, folks. What must I do to get God to help me? What must I do to get God to help me? You know, I found out I weren't walking maybe where I ought to have been walking. We need to look at ourselves. Am I walking where I'm supposed to be walking? Am I living like I'm supposed to be living? We need to come before Him and humble ourselves. And that's the only way you can approach God. If you don't humble yourself, see yourself for what you are, how you failed Him. If we don't humble ourselves and repent, what does it mean, repent? Repent means you've been going the wrong way and you turn the other way. It means you quit doing what God says is wrong. That's what repent is. Sins of failure to serve Him. We've got to repent of that. You know, when I really got right with the Lord many, many, many years ago, I became so sensitive. That I wouldn't even throw a piece of paper out my car window. I wouldn't even throw any kind of trash out. I just made up my mind I'm going to try to live like God wants me to live. We got to mean business, church. God don't lower the standards for us. The standards are, be ye holy, for I am holy. The sin of failing to obey Him. But I tell you what, that's a serious thing. We don't obey the Lord. Sins is not giving ourselves to Him and seeking His will. Do you seek the will of God? Really? Or are you just living with the flow? We all have sins of forgetting God, don't we? Do you ever get up in a haste and forget to have prayed? That bugs me. I jumped up all of a sudden for some reason. Usually I try to pray some before I get out of bed, before I let light hit my eyes. But sometimes they succeed. And then later I'll think about it. I want to kick myself, you know? I mean, we need to be conscious where we're failing. Where we're falling short. None of us are going to ever be perfect. But our desire should be to be perfect. Amen? For God to hear our cry, we must be sincere. God allowed the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness because for 40 years He let them wander. You know why? They wouldn't listen. And God lets us, and I know this for a fact because I've gone through it, God lets us wander in a wilderness till we come to our senses, like the prodigal son of Luke 15. He had to get down there in the hog pen before he ever. And sometimes people then won't come to their senses. If we want God to bless us, we must listen to Him. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. When everything was going good, I was young. I did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to, how I wanted to. And then God lowered the boom. You know why God lowers the boom? Get your attention. Slow you down. Do you know why he does that? Because he loves you. He's trying to keep us from destroying ourselves. Isn't he good? Isn't he good that he lets affliction of some nature come to slow us down to get our attention? Get our priorities in order. Remember Naomi in the Bible and her husband Elimelech? They went out of Bethlehem because of a famine in the land. So they went over to the land of Moab. And you know, Moab, the Bible says, is God's washpot. So they left Judea. They went over to Moab. And in the land of Moab, guess what happens? Naomi's husband dies. Boy, that's a bad way to be, isn't he? Well, they had two sons. So while they're there, they marry two Moabite girls. They weren't supposed to marry Moabites, but they did anyway. People do a lot of things they ain't supposed to do, right? But you know, even God used one of those Moabite girls to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now that's the grace of God. Ruth, remember Ruth? Well, the thing the Bible tells us is that both of Naomi's boys died, both of them. After they had got married, both her sons died. Now get this picture. Here's Naomi in the land of Moab. Her husband's died. Her two sons died. And now she's got two daughter-in-laws that are foreigners. So she gets word that the famine's broke back in Judea. So she decides, well, I'm going to go on back home. And the two girls say, well, we'll go with you. But finally, one of them backs out and doesn't go. But Ruth determined to go. When Naomi got back into Bethlehem, Judea, you know what? She was so pitiful. And when she got back, she said to the town folks, she said, call me not Naomi. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. I went out with my husband and my children. And the Lord hath brought me home empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? But you see, Naomi didn't see the big picture. God had sent him over there to Moab to get that little girl named Ruth, who was going to be in the lineage through which the Messiah would come, because she would marry Boaz. Y'all remember that? You can't figure out God, folks. That's why we got to trust him. He won't ever do wrong. God never does wrong. He always does what's right. He does what's best. Oh, we can't understand all of it. But God's plan is right. And he calls us all to trust him. Trust him. Because he's for us. He's for us. Can you get that? He's not against you. Oh, but his judgments will get you if you don't trust him. What a heartbreaking experience for Naomi. But we see that God had great plans. because he was planning on bringing the Messiah to one immobile cross. Time after time, we see God take care of his people. Has God took care of you? His people must trust him and be faithful. That's what this book teaches from cover to cover. Trust God and be faithful. Trust God and be faithful. You'll be blessed. Now, to be blessed don't mean you're going to have a lot of material stuff. This mundane stuff is going to pass away, folks. To be blessed of God is to be knowing about him and serving him and become spiritual people. That's where you're blessed at, being spiritual. Remember who we are. We are a chosen people. We're chosen for our Savior. This life will have setbacks. There will be hardships. But God allows these things to help us stay close to him. If God didn't put hindrances and afflictions along the way, we go off and self-destruct. We must remember this world is not our home. Miss Sue, your home in heaven won't get destroyed, sister. And Danielle, you won't have to leave home either when we get to heaven. Ain't that good news? These things I've spoken unto you, Jesus said, that you might have peace. In the world, you should have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I overcome the world, John 16:33. The word tribulation means affliction, trouble, anguish, persecution, burden. And Lord knows I've had it. Some of them is my fault, making unwise decisions. But that probably includes all of us, don't it? Most of our problems are our own making. Like the cartoon character said that time, we met the enemy and it's ourself. The good news is the Lord is with us whatever situation we find ourselves in. And as we face a new year, let's face it with confidence and hope and faith and determination to serve our Lord Jesus with all of our hearts. You know, this could be the year the Lord comes. There's one thing for sure, we're closer to it. We're closer. We need to trust him to make a way, because by the storms and the hardships of this life, God is moving us into his will. And God has given us an opportunity to grow in grace. Look at the people that's spurning that opportunity. You remember the man Brother Chavis spoke about a while ago? Man that won't go to church. He's missing on the opportunity to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And when we're out of church, when we're out of our Bible, when we're out of the prayer closets, we're not going to be what God wants us to be. Listen to this promise as we close. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it's written? For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8, 35 and 37 through 37. You will not be a loser serving Christ. You will be a winner. So lift up your tear-stained eyes to our Heavenly Father, who watches over us and who's getting ready to send his Son to get us. Loving God, thank you for this day. Thank you then in the Word of God that we see how our Savior cried for the will of God to be done in his life. Thank you how we can see people like the psalmist that would cry to you so readily. How we can see a man like Paul that can be content wherever he was at. Oh God, help us to grow in grace. Oh God, put your loving arms around us here in this little church and just draw us closer. Give us hearts that are pure, clean, filled with the Spirit. Help us to be strong in the Lord. And those, Lord, that's going through afflictions and trials, encourage, comfort. And we'll thank and praise you, because we know you have everything under control. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lord speaks to hearts today. You're welcome to come to the altar, to meet with the Lord, to express your love, your need, your concern for someone else. Time to search our own hearts, to confess sins, repent of sins.